WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk.
This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good morning, Rutherford County. We're going to have a great show today. We're going to teach you how to defend yourself and all the other things that go along with it. And basically, we're going to teach you, or not we, Bill Taylor is. Bill Taylor, who is, as well known in Rutherford County as Bruce Lee and Chuck Norris and all those famous Hollywood people. But you're actually the real thing sitting right here in Murfreesboro and have been for a number of years, Bill.
Well, thank you, Sheriff. I don't know if I need to be included in those other names you gave, but
no, you do the real stuff.
Well, yes, sir. Yes, sir. We work with a number of people in Murfreesboro since 1973.
Now, when and how did you get started in the martial arts?
I started when I was about 11 years old. It was kind of like we were talking about earlier. It's a sport where size is not that important. Mm-hmm. I was never a large kid, and it was something that I could get involved with where size would not, you know, hold me back. Mm-hmm. And being an individual sport, it was something that I enjoyed. I kind of had a knack for it. I excelled at it. As a young man, I started competing in amateur tournaments, point tournaments, and really enjoyed that. And it just kind of blossomed from there. And now looking back on it, 40 years, it was just one of the best decisions I've ever made. I'm so blessed that I was able to get involved in something like that and then turn it into a career.
You have to be self-structured. You learn so many valuable things in life when you're going through those classes. It has to be something special for you because being around you, I know that you've got self-confidence. I know that you're very respected in this community, but you respect other people.
Yes,
in the community. How valuable is it for young people to get involved in something like a sport, in any type of martial arts?
Well, you were talking about it being a structured activity, and mm-hmm. I think when we get children that are already, you know, organized and doing well in school, and I guess structured, as you say, they usually excel. Mm-hmm. They fall into our goal fit. You know, we have a goal system, and mm-hmm. it's very organized, and they excel. A lot of children that don't have those attributes, that are a little less structured and maybe have problems focusing, they excel in it because we're professionals at working with that type of child. Mm-hmm. Martial arts is a sport where nobody has to sit on the bench, mm-hmm. so they're active all the time. They're being engaged by the instructor. You know, the three big things we say we work on with children, and, you know, children are about 60% of our student base. We have a lot of adults too, mm-hmm. but with children, we work on focus, self-control, and listening skills. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you would agree, most any child, if they have a good handle on those three areas, are going to excel at not only karate, but at school, and with behavior at home and things that are important to them.
Cynthia Jones was on yesterday, and she was very complimentary of you going into the classroom. And you are now going in most of these schools in this community.
Yes, sir. Our school have different programs that we present to the schools. Mm-hmm. One is just a karate in general. I'm going to Barfield Elementary next Monday because a kindergarten is studying the letter K, mm-hmm. so I'm going to do a presentation on karate. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We do more specific visits where we're going to talk about stranger danger, mm-hmm. which is childhood abduction prevention. Mm-hmm. And we also do a presentation on what we call Bully Buster. It's really called the 6 ways to resolve conflict peacefully. Mm-hmm. So we're not talking about fighting, we're talking about just the opposite of that.
Right.
But I've been very lucky to, having been in Murfreesboro as long as we are, to visit, I don't know that I'd say every classroom, but I know I've been to every school in Rutherford County.
That's amazing.
So, you know, another thing, Sheriff, is when a child at our school is testing for his next belt, the colored belts, mm-hmm. gold belt, blue belt, orange belt, whatever, they have to get a sheet signed by their teacher. And the sheet will let us know how they're doing with their respect, their grades, are they living up to their potential. And we invite, or I don't know if we invite, but we ask the teacher if they would like us to come visit their classroom. They can mark that on the form. So you know, each time we have a belt exam, I try to contact all those teachers, and if anybody wants us to come visit, we're glad to do that.
That sounds like it maybe should be a requirement in the schools for you to be in there.
Well, I'd appreciate that.
I know the teachers would love it.
Yes, sir. My son goes to Diego. My seven-year-old goes to McFadden. Mm-hmm. And on Valentine's Day, I think we were just talking about, on a Thursday the 14th, I'm going to be working with the PE classes, mm-hmm. going over not punching and kicking and fighting, but those things we talked about, self-control, listening skills, focus, as well as learning, you know, some punches and kicks, something that will be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it.
When they're going through karate or any martial arts, you have certain steps that you have to reach as you go up the ladder.
Yes, sir.
And it starts with discipline, doesn't it?
Yes, sir. I guess you could say it starts with discipline because for a child anyway, and again, we do have a lot of adults, mm-hmm. but for a child, a lot of times the parent brings them to work on focus and self-control. Mm-hmm. And the reason you're very correct that it starts with discipline is that they don't even get to take their belt exams unless their teacher has checked off on how well they're doing at school, and mom and dad. You know, mom and dad ultimately are the boss at our school, and mom and dad have to sign off that the child is, you know, doing the chores at home that are wanted, they're showing good respect, they're not practicing their karate on their little sister and the dog, but they're doing what the parents ask them. And mom and dad can come and say, Mr. Taylor, we need to hold off on Johnny's belt exam because he's not taking care of some things at home. So you're exactly right. It does start with discipline.
Now, would your particular brand of martial arts, would that be contact, sport, or would it be points as far as getting to the next step, the next belt?
What we do at our school is, of course, you start out as a white belt, mm-hmm. and then you go to gold belt after about 2, maybe 3 months. And at orange belt, you start what we call freestyle sparring. Mm-hmm. And that is sparring with children with no contact. Now, they do have protective equipment. Mm-hmm. And as they get a little bit more confident in what they do, we can have light contact where you can touch the body of your opponent and mm-hmm. score a point. But what you're referring to is full contact, which is full contact karate or similar to boxing. That's something that we reserve for people that desire, people that like the intensity of that. And, you know, there's not a lot of people that want that intensity. Most of us adults come into karate for the fitness level or the self-defense training. You don't want to have a black eye and a cracked rib and get up and go to work. And we don't do that in our regular classes. Mm-hmm. But for the small select group that want to do that, we do have a program that addresses the needs of those that want to be more intense. Right now we have a student that we actually had a MMA, a mixed martial arts match set up for one of our instructors, Robert Chisholm, mm-hmm. but they rescheduled it for Thanksgiving weekend, and that just didn't work out with anybody's schedule, so we're right now trying to find something else for him. But I guess the level of intensity, Sheriff, that an adult could participate in is something they could choose.
Now, they do reach a level under you where they can protect themselves against a lot of including a lot of situations that they normally would not have been to. They would have backed off or maybe did not have the confidence to do what they needed to do.
Yes, sir. Of all ages, and we have, you know, after being in this business for 40 years, we have, you know, dozens and dozens of stories mm-hmm. of an adult who was maybe confronted in a parking lot mm-hmm. and effectively defended himself. We have stories of children who were being bullied at school. Mm-hmm. And what we hope to do in a situation like that is that they develop the confidence to be able to confront that bully and say, look, I don't want to fight you, but I will defend myself. Leave me alone. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times that's all they need to do. But when push comes to shove, you need to know how to defend yourself. With a child, as far as physical self-defense, the thing that scares me the most are childhood abduction situations.
Right.
And part of our curriculum we call Stranger Danger is where we're trying to give that children the skills that they know what to do mm-hmm. if an adult comes up and starts asking them weird questions or or it's obviously that the adult is using a lure to try to get that child to get in the car with them or something like that. Though, you know, that is, I guess, on a level that's just off the chart scary, where a bullying situation is something that's bad that we want to avoid, but we want to give our children the tools to be able to deal with any of those bad situations, and they will develop those skills at our school.
They're so structured as they go through your class that as they gain these skills, they are taught to be responsible with those skills, when to use them. It's almost like when you're going through a similar to a handgun class.
Yes, sir.
You know that what you're supposed to do and what you shouldn't be doing, and you do not want to use those skills in a way that could be not only harmful to the other person but to them. And it all goes back to their teaching, doesn't it?
Yes, sir. I think your handgun analogy is perfect. You know, if you're carrying a handgun for personal protection, mm-hmm. a sane person is not going to pull that gun out when someone gives them an ugly look in the parking lot, right?
Right.
You know, you're not going to use that lightly. Well, we talk to children and adults that when you know how to defend yourself, it's kind of like having a prize that you keep in your pocket, and you're not going to pull it out and throw it around and lose it. I've been lucky enough to train with some of the top martial artists in the world, and usually these top guys are very humble, and they're not the kind of guys that go around with an attitude and a lot of bravado. Usually the training that they've got and the confidence that they've developed makes for a humble, confident person, and they don't need to go out and, you know, boast and be bragging about what they can do. So usually that's the way it works. As your confidence goes up, the likelihood of you using those skills inappropriately actually goes down.
Now, you can see them become successful in the martial arts, but they also become successful in many other ways, don't they? Because of the things that you teach them, the life skills.
The thing that I enjoy most about what I do is seeing the success that children, and again, adults, have got in other areas through their martial arts training. Mm-hmm. You know, a child that is maybe a little hyperactive, mm-hmm. and the parents come to me and go, we don't want to go the medication route. We want to see if we can find an activity that he can work on his focus.
Right.
And I'll tell the parent, you know, every day he comes to class, we're going to talk about tactile self-control, which means staying still. We're going to talk about visual self-control, which means eye contact. And we're going to talk about listening, audible self-control, and you got to do that in order. You got to stay still. You got to have good eye contact. What other activity is a child going to work on those focus skills? And if you do it consistently in a good professional martial arts environment, that is going to go over into their what they're doing at school. And Sheriff, as I was saying earlier, what I just love about my job is when a parent comes in after they've been with us for, you know, a couple months maybe, and lets me know that their child is doing so much better at school, their focus is increasing, they're able to control their temper and things like that. That just makes it all worthwhile.
You can have people from who have all kinds of self problems.
Yes, sir.
And I was thinking as you're going through that, the ones that are manic and have all
right.
types of,
right.
of they can't be still. I mean, we've all seen that.
Right.
That would be perfect in your class, wouldn't it?
It would. The energy's there. You're exactly
yeah.
right. And the beauty of it is that, you know, most young people are interested in martial arts. They've mm-hmm. seen it on TV. They've seen the Power Rangers. And they come in and we just channel that interest mm-hmm. in a way that they're not perceptive of the fact that they're learning self-control.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side of the extreme is the child that is so shy that they won't have contact, mm-hmm. eye contact. They come in, they look at the ground, they're not confident, that they won't talk to you, they won't engage another person. And it's a process, but as they come to karate on a regular basis and they start realizing goals, mm-hmm. whether it's earning tips on their belt or they get their first half gold belt, or the beauty of it, the best thing is when they go through their first belt exam, belt mm-hmm. ceremony, and they earn their gold belt or their orange
big
belt.
Time.
Oh, their chest is sticking out, and they look over at mom and dad and go, "Hey, I can do this."
I love that.
Right. It's a very unique sport, for lack of a better word.
And I don't know if you've ever had one, but if you ever have a kid that steps out of the norm and maybe tries to use his skills when he shouldn't be,
yes.
and you find out about
right.
it, what would be the situation that you would have to deal with?
Well, he'd have to go to the principal's office, and and I'm the principal at the karate school.
Mm-hmm.
But usually the way we find out about that, Sheriff, is the parent, you know, the parents love the child. They know that was inappropriate behavior, and they bring it to our attention.
Mm-hmm.
And we bring the child into the office, and we conference with them. We go back and try to reiterate some of the things that they've already heard,
mm-hmm.
that you know, martial arts is not to be used inappropriately,
mm-hmm.
that it's something they need to be proud of, but they don't need to be just, you know, doing it when it's not needed. And then we have disciplinary action that we can take within the school. That could be take, you know, he's earned his blue belt, but he's not using his martial arts skill properly. That belt can be taken away.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
The belt can be taken away.
Right.
So he has to go out, or she, and not wear their belt for a while. They have to earn that belt back. And the way they're going to earn that belt back is by correcting the behavior that has been...
That's pretty tough,
yeah.
discipline.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it works. It works very well because they want that. They earned that belt, and they want it back.
A lot of hard work goes into that.
Yes, sir.
Do you ever do any discipline in front of the other kids?
Well,
if somebody really steps out of the line, is he admonished publicly within that group?
Probably in class, you know, mm-hmm. if I've got someone that's, you know, acting inappropriately, we're going to address that immediately.
Mm-hmm.
For strong reprimand, we practice that we praise in public, but, you know, correct in private. So mm-hmm. if we really need to have a heart-to-heart with the student, we're probably going to do that in the office. But for a quick reprimand for something that's going on the floor during class, yes, we're going to correct that student right there.
Now, you also have adult classes.
Oh, yes, sir. About 40% of our student body is adult.
Now, do you get the moms and dads, or do you just have, say, ladies come in that are worried about protecting themselves, or maybe they need to have some self-discipline, and the guys, too?
Yes,
of course,
sir.
The guys would probably be more aggressive, but I'm just guessing.
Well, some of the ladies might surprise you with how aggressive they can be. Our adult program has evolved. We're very family-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that our adult program has evolved is that usually, Sheriff, they sign the child up,
mm-hmm.
and the child's doing great. The child's been there for 4 or 5, maybe 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
The parent is in the observatory. Mm-hmm. We want the parents watching the children so they know what's going on. When we do a child's class, our observatory's packed. Most every parent of the child in the class is there. They don't have to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, especially after they've been there a while, they'll drop their child off. But most of our parents are looking through the glass. They're watching that child. And after they've looked through the glass long enough, they start wondering what it would be like to be on the other side of the glass.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll come to the office and said, a lot of people, if they come in the early part of the day, they don't even know we have adult classes. But from 5 to 8, we're pretty much all adults. And the adult will say, well, I've thought about trying this. And then mom or dad or both will start participating. And what's neat about it, Sheriff, is that unlike baseball or football or soccer, where you can't get out there and play soccer with your child mm-hmm. during a real game, in karate, you can get out on the floor with your children and participate together. It's one of the rare activities like that. The other part of our adult program is our cardio kickboxing program,
mm-hmm.
which is not traditional karate. They don't wear the white uniform. They don't earn belts, but it's mainly for fitness. We've taken boxing and kickboxing techniques, jab, cross hook, uppercut, side kick, front kick, and developed it into a program that's more fitness oriented. It's more for weight loss than it is earning belts. And that's a adult only program.
So nutrition is also part of
yes,
what
sir.
You're teaching.
Our student guide, the book that you get when you join, there's a whole section in there on nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, exercise will allow you to lose weight up to a point, and then nutrition's going to come into play. And the smartest thing is to do both, is to start out with a good exercise regime while you're also watching your diet.
What is the toughest, the most devastating move that you have? Is it the reverse kick?
For me personally? Or
Yeah.
When I was competing in kickboxing, my favorite techniques were a left hook, mm-hmm. because I'm left-handed, but I fight orthodox. I fight with my left side out front. Mm-hmm. I don't fight like a southpaw. So I had good confidence with the left hook, and there's a kick called a hook kick off your lead leg that kind of hard to describe on radio, but it kind of comes in the opposite direction. And for me, a jump spinning back kick were my favorite techniques.
I've always thought the spinning kick had more strength in it than anything that
you've got. It probably does, especially, Sheriff, a jump spinning back kick where you jump up and decrease all that friction with the ground, and just with your hips, you twist and slam the heel of your foot into your opponent. It's a devastating kick. It's, you know, for self-defense, it can be dangerous because, you know, you really don't want to turn your back on someone when there's no rules.
Right.
But in a boxing ring where there's rules, you know, you can get away with making a few mistakes. But it's a very devastating kick.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. And we will get back to mayhem right here in Murfreesboro.
It's time. Blue Raiders.
Support your Blue Raiders as they compete for back-to-back Sun Belt Conference titles. Men's and women's basketball combo season tickets are on sale now and start as low as $199. Don't miss a single three-pointer. Score a slam dunk with season tickets today.
Show your true blue. Support your Blue Raiders. Tickets available at GoBlueRaiders.com or call 1-888-YES-MTSU. Go Blue Raiders.
Sunshine Nutrition Center is your full-range health food store. We offer supplements, grocery items, pet food, fresh produce, juice bar, and a deli. Come visit us at Sunshine Nutrition Center for all your healthy needs in Murfreesboro and in Smyrna.
That's Kim Hilsman.
Southern Community Bank, unlike all the rest. Beverly Barker, branch manager.
Southern Community Bank is a strong, independent community partner with a simple philosophy. Keep banking hassle-free for people who just want to be treated well.
We're unlike all the rest. Our services are intuitive. Our team is friendly. Our approach is refreshing. And our service is clearly unique.
We're located at 1950 Old Fort Parkway, next to the DoubleTree Hotel.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
We're here with Dr. Rishi Saxena, the only certified physician in heart CT in this area, talking about the 64-slice CT scan.
Other tests are invasive and they are not as accurate, particularly the treadmill stress test. Sometimes you may have a negative test, you may still have blockages.
Before heart catheterization or stress test, call 896-4800.
This is the earliest test where you could find information without taking too much risk.
Call 896-4800. It could be the 1 minute that saves your life.
A message to parents. I'm Ron Jordan with local news from WGNS. It's from local state troopers, and it's about their teens in Rutherford County.
This is Trooper Van of the Tennessee Highway Patrol with an important traffic safety message. Distracted driving is the number one killer of American teens. All distractions, texting, eating, or adjusting the radio places the driver and others at serious risk of injury or death. Distracted driving crashes are preventable. Please help us spread the word. Don't drive distracted.
The news brought to you by Dr. Mark Kester, Chiropractic and Acupuncture Center on Broad Across from Chevrolet of Murfreesboro. Dr. Mark Kester's treatment options to get you better faster and keep you better longer. Call 895-1253 for a free consultation. Two Rutherford County Sheriff's Office deputies resigned after being charged with DUI and separate arrests this weekend. Sergeant Trent Givens, who was a patrol supervisor, charged early Monday with DUI by Deputy Michael Rogers. Deputy Ronnie Pugh, who worked in detention, charged Saturday by the Tennessee Highway Patrol. Pugh also charged with possession of a weapon while under the influence of an intoxicant. Both Givens and Pugh were booked into Rutherford County Adult Detention Center and released on bond. Hearing for Givens set for April 4th, Pugh's March 22nd. Givens joined the sheriff's office in December 97. Pugh joined the sheriff's office in June of 06. The 2013 Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program, a partnership between Greenhouse Ministries and United Way of Rutherford and Cannon Counties, has begun tax preparation for qualified individuals. It will be available till April of 2003. Appointments for qualifying individuals available by calling 494-0499. Or you can follow the link to uwrutherford.org on our website, wgnsradio.com. Which, by the way, is exactly where you need to go if you need more news. Or you can go to facebook.com/wgnsradio. I'm Ron Jordan. You're up to date, and this is WGNS News.
You had an accident, and the guy's bloodthirsty lawyer wants to sue you. How would you protect yourself? Affordable liability insurance from Safe Auto. For not a lot of money, you can protect yourself from your own mistakes. Call 1-800-SAFE-AUTO now. Drive safe, spend less, Safe Auto.
Weather Eye.
Sky's becoming mostly sunny as we head into the afternoon hours. We'll have cloud cover to start our day. Highs in the upper 50s with a west-southwest wind around 5. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Thaluber.
Right now, it is 48.
Our good neighbor of the day today is Wanda Bange. She receives flowers from Ryan's Flowers and Gifts for being our good neighbor of the day. And Ariana Holy Cross receives the birthday cake from Junior's Foodland. Congratulations and happy birthday.
To bag the deer of a lifetime, you have to be prepared. That's why you need to shop Murfreesboro Outdoors.
This is Randy at Murfreesboro Outdoors. We get camouflage clothes, shotguns, shells.
Murfreesboro Outdoors on Northwest Broad Street.
You are listening to The Truman Show on WGNS, AM and FM. Now back to Truman Jones.
And welcome back with Bill Taylor. And this part of his show is brought to you by Murfreesboro Automotive. When you need car repairs, you want someone you can trust. Murfreesboro Automotive is that place. Chuck Haynes is a staff of certified technicians that can fix anything. From the simple oil change to major auto repair, Murfreesboro Automotive is the only place you need. Murfreesboro Automotive, turn off Broad between Chewy's and Chili's onto Ridgely Road. Now, let's enter the dragon again.
All right.
Great movie, wasn't it?
I love that movie. That was, Bruce Lee.
Yes.
That was just an awesome movie. The fight scenes are great. The movie, I think, Sheriff, came out in 1973, and when you watch the movie, Bruce Lee had already integrated what's now known as MMA. I mean, there's a fight scene at the early part of the movie where he's punching, mm-hmm. and then he takes the guy to the ground and uses a technique called Jujugatame, which is an arm bar, and the guy taps out. And, you know, and so that's nothing new. Most martial artists that study long enough, you start kind of putting different arts together. He was very innovative and just wrote some amazing books about martial arts. He was a deep thinker. And I love that movie. Great movie.
What made him so popular? I know just you watch him and his style and the grace that he has. It's actually gets you more than the power of mm-hmm. his punches and those type things.
I think something that made him popular was a couple things. One, just charisma. Mm-hmm. He had a lot of charisma. He made a lot of movies in China that were made on very low budgets that mm-hmm. after he got well known, boom, they kind of re-released them and they were more popular. One thing that Bruce Lee had going for him is that when he moved to Los Angeles, he started working with a lot of well-known actors. He trained them privately. James Caan mm-hmm. and some other guys. I'm drawing a blank right now, but he worked with a number of well-known actors back in, I guess, the late 60s, early 70s. You remember the movie Long Street?
Yeah.
TV show?
Yeah.
You know, he was on that, mm-hmm. and that kind of got him started. And I think he had a lot of good connections within Hollywood that when Enter the Dragon was released, it was made with a larger budget than any of those other movies. It was a better, well-made movie, and then it kind of blossomed from there. And then, tragically, he passed away not too many years after that.
You know, the karate movies are almost larger than life, or the martial arts movies.
Martial arts are, you know, even a movie that's not categorized as a martial arts movie mm-hmm. is going to have some martial arts in it, you know, if it's an action movie. So the genre of martial arts movies is kind of just disseminated into just about any movie. If two guys get into a fight, it's not like the Buford Pusser movies where it's the axe handle and a roundhouse right.
Yeah,
you know, everybody knows how to kick and do some groundwork, and it's really ubiquitous now the way the martial arts has grown.
Well, you know, so many people have been raised watching those movies, and I mean, some of them are to the point of ridiculous. Kill Bill and all that, where right. one woman kills hundreds of people in one big fight,
right?
And they fly through the air. I mean, that seems like that. Can you actually do that? Can you float through the air
I've been working on that for 40 years, and I still can't do it. But we were talking about me visiting these schools, and you know, it's inevitable. I do my presentation, mm-hmm. and then if there's some time for question and answers, mm-hmm. you know, a child will raise his hand, and here it comes. Mm-hmm. Mr. Taylor, can you do a flip? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have to break their little hearts and go, I'm sorry.
I'm devastated.
Yeah. But we, you know, I think for, you know, the sensationalism of making a movie, and there's even now competitions where you're rewarded for as flamboyant as a kick as you can throw. Right. There's guys now, Sheriff, that do what's called a 720 spin kick.
Wow.
They're so athletic that they can jump up and spin around twice and throw kicks. So it's amazing what these athletes can do. But that doesn't have anything to do with real self-defense. That's not something you'd want to do in a back alley with one or two guys menacing you. You know, that's not practical. Not practical.
Is that hard to get around, especially a kid's idea of what karate is? Are they expecting to be able to do more than what they really can?
I think they are a lot of times. What we do, you know, you've got to go over the basic fundamentals of karate, a basic mm-hmm. straight punch to get stability, balance, strength, flexibility. And at both of my locations, we talk a lot at our staff meetings about disguise repetition. As an instructor, we've got to be smart enough to have a child do a, let's say, a basic front kick 100 times in a class, but we use different ways to do it against a punching bag, in the air, with a partner. So we disguise it, and at the end of the class, he doesn't really know he's done 100 front kicks, but he's worked on that fundamental skill. So we have to do that. We also do things in class from time to time that maybe are a little flamboyant to address that fantasy image they may have about martial arts, mm-hmm. where we're practicing a flying sidekick over some pads that we've got on the floor. So they, and you know, that does take great athletic ability. It's not a wasted practice. It's just not something that I'm going to want them to do if they ever got into a real self-defense situation.
And I think we have a caller on the line, Bill, so we got to put her ears on. And caller, welcome aboard with Bill Taylor.
And a very pleasant good morning to you, gentlemen.
Good morning. There's a karate man. I know that voice.
No, not hardly. Hey, I had a son, though, that participated in karate under Bill Taylor's instruction and was very well. And I compliment Bill on the work that he has done with the young people in Murfreesboro and Rutherford County down through the years, as not only teaching karate, but also some good character traits as well.
And that's coming from a real good source right there. Oh, yes. Mr. Butch Campbell, Walter Hill, of course.
Yes, sir. I visited Walter Hill a number of times when Mr. Campbell would let me come out there and talk about karate. Thank you for calling, Mr. Campbell. I appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
Good to see you yesterday, Butch.
Good to see you, too. Did you get your problem taken care of?
No, I have still got it. But thank you. I appreciate it.
Bye.
He was over at the baseball get-together at MTSU, Groundhog right. Day. Had a great crowd. I mean, it was just bulging out at
awesome.
The seams. I've never seen so many people
He's
there.
A fine man.
Yes, he is. Now, you started fairly young. You said about 11 years old
yes, sir.
When you started. But you went through the whole concept of self-defense. You were a boxer also when you were younger.
I started boxing in high school at Sheriff Fate Thomas's team in Nashville.
Brings back old memories.
Right. We boxed in the jail. That was the only place it was. Had Clint Jackson was the coach.
Good coach.
Yes, sir. Very authoritative. Mm-hmm. Johnny Bumpus, who went on to win a world title, boxed mm-hmm. with us. Mike McCallum, if you're familiar with boxing, he worked out in that gym some. Billy Collins, who tragically passed away, that was one of the guys that boxed with us. But I did that primarily just to help with the kickboxing career that I started in 1980. Wanted to learn how to, you know, punch more effectively.
I'm sure you ran across some of these tough boxers from Murfreesboro, didn't you, in Rutherford County?
Not a whole lot of them. We kind of had to go to Nashville to find those. There were a few.
Yeah, there were quite a few. We got to put our ears back
okay.
on. We have another caller. Caller, welcome with Bill Taylor.
Yes, I watched Bill grow up, and I'm enjoying the show today. It's wonderful. I have two questions. one, and I'll hang up and answer. I mean, listen to the answer. One, what's the difference between karate and taekwondo? And the second one is, I have a six-year-old great-granddaughter, and I've been anxious for her to get in a class, but her mother doesn't want her to.
Uh-oh.
What do you do about that? Just hang loose, I guess.
Yes, ma'am. Well, first, karate and taekwondo, both great arts. Karate, the main thing is country of origin. Karate is actually karate, means empty hand. Those are Japanese words. So karate originated out of Japan, where taekwondo originated out of Korea. There's a lot of similarities. They kind of have probably common base roots if you go back far enough. But the main difference between those two arts is the country of origin. With your six-year-old granddaughter, the easiest thing to do, if you could get her mother to come by a good professionally run martial arts studio and watch a class that has six-year-old children in it, that's all you got to do. If you can get her to do that, and if it's a professionally run school, she's going to see the things that the children are working on. She's going to see the type of environment that they're under. And that's all you'd have to do. If you get her to go to a class at a professionally run school, she'll let the child try it.
That's a good answer. And I tell you, you know, you think about it now, with kids do not seem to be as disciplined as they used to be in the past. And some parents have trouble with that.
Mm-hmm.
But you think of your school is fun, and it gives them a sense of confidence, and then they actually enjoy the discipline part because it's something special to them.
Right, right. It's a, you know, we're here to help the parents, mm-hmm. and like we were saying earlier, whether it's a child that's extremely shy or if it's a child that's a little too rambunctious, mm-hmm. we can help. We're professionals. We've been doing this for 40 years. And granted, it's a little bit easier for us because where mom and dad have that child 24 hours a day, we have that child for 1 hour, you know, 2 or 3 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the beauty of it. For that 1 hour, the child is engaged. The child is interested in what they're participating in. And it gives us a chance to set them up for success. Mm-hmm. It gives us a chance to let them have 1 hour where they have listened, they focused, and they followed instructions. And you know what? If they can do it for 1 hour, a couple days a week, they can do it at home, they can do it at school. It's a process. It takes mm-hmm. some practice. But we always say, it's like blocking a right hand that somebody throws at you in the parking lot. That's a skill.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to practice that skill till it becomes a habit. Well, like saying yes or no, sir, focusing, follow, those are skills. And if you don't practice them somewhere, you're never going to develop them. But if you can find a program where you practice those skills, they will eventually turn into habits.
Now, you started with boxing, and boxing is a very aggressive sport, as we all know.
Yes, sir.
And you utilize your body a little bit different when you're boxing than with a martial arts.
Right, exactly.
What made you go from boxing into the martial arts? Because
right.
I know that you were in a number of contests
yes,
in boxing and then on into martial
yes.
arts.
Sheriff, it's really kind of the other way around. In 1979, 1980, I asked my instructor, Mr. Bill Herzer, if I could get involved in full contact karate.
All right.
And we went to Atlanta. We talked to some people. My first fight was in Atlanta in 1980. But prior to that, I got into the boxing to help with the kickboxing.
Okay.
So it was kind of an aid to my kickboxing.
Since you're going to be in combat.
Exactly. I mean, in kickboxing, you wear gloves just like mm-hmm. a boxer. You throw jab, cross hook, uppercut. Mm-hmm. You just also bring the kicks into play.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually did the boxing training to help with the kickboxing.
When you're boxing, you learn skills mostly with your hands.
Right.
Of course, you learn the stances and how to throw.
Yes, sir.
Aren't the martial arts a little bit quicker as far as their releases? Of course, you don't have the gloves on your hands. Well, I guess in some combat
right,
sports
right.
you do. But do they complement each other?
They definitely complement each other. What I had to change is that I used to fight out of like a much longer, wider stance that limited mm-hmm. my mobility. And when I got in the boxing gym, I shortened that stance up to be able to be more mobile.
Right.
You know, as far as hand speed, I think there are men that do karate, that do full contact karate, and that do boxing. The hand speed's a factor of the man, right, not the art. I don't think there's anybody in the world right now that's got faster hands than Floyd Mayweather.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's the, you know, the welterweight world champion.
Right.
He's got the, he's got some fast hands. So I think it's more, well, it brings me back to a Bruce Lee quote. He said, "There are no superior martial arts. There are superior martial artists."
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a guy that has the athletic ability, he'll probably excel in boxing or karate or full contact karate or MMA. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it has to do with the abilities that man brings to the table.
Now, you see in these movies that they want to go to the guru, whether it be in this country,
right,
or that country.
Right.
Does that actually mean anything? Can you actually hone all of your skills right here with Bill Taylor in whichever direction you want to go?
Oh, boy, that's a loaded question. I mean, I think we meet the needs of most everyone that comes to our school,
mm-hmm,
whether it's fitness, self-defense, or a child that needs some help with some attitudinal skills. I would not go so far as to call me a guru, but we've been very successful over the past four decades.
It's going to be a lot of people remember you the rest of their lives for what you've meant to them. And we have another caller on the line. Caller, welcome aboard with Bill Taylor.
Good morning. I have two questions, Mr. Taylor. You've alluded to self-defense, and I'm wondering if you have self-defense classes for young women that are holistic, not just focused on karate, but, you know, awareness and things like that. And then the second question I have is actually kind of a challenge. I'm wondering if you yourself or know of anyone who provides self-defense classes for people with special needs, people who are visually impaired or have motor skills issues. And if you don't, is that a kind of a challenge that maybe you or someone you know would want to take on?
Right. For ladies' self-defense seminars, what I think you're asking for is a seminar, not a ongoing martial arts class. We do those from time to time. We usually do those as a public service. We'll announce those in the papers. We do them free of charge. The last one we did, we had 80 ladies show up. We did it on a Wednesday evening, and there was some there were some attacks going on in Murfreesboro at the time,
mm-hmm,
so I think that had something to do with the big turnout. But if you could contact us through our website, it's mm-hmm, bskonline.com, and where it says contact us, if you could give me some contact information for you, I would sure let you know the next time that we do that.
Okay.
A ladies' self-defense seminar, and we don't have every quarter we don't do one, but we do them as the need. So maybe you've addressed a need that we need to jump on that. But BSK, it's for Bushido School of Karate, bskonline.com. And okay, if you go to contact us, please do that, and I'll get back with you for that. Secondly, we do work with special needs children and adults. I work personally with a lady that was visually impaired for quite some time. I work with her privately. We do two things. If we have a person that has physical limitations or mental limitations, we initially give a class that they get to come in free with an instructor, and we gauge where they would be able to fit into our program. And if at all possible, we like to put them in with a regular group if they can. And a lot of people with special needs can participate in a class, in a group class, if the instructors are as good as mine are. If we had someone that needed the martial arts training and would not be able to be put in with the group, we would be more than willing to maybe work with them privately.
Would that also include not so much karate training, but self-defense?
Yes, ma'am. Really, those two things are kind of the same thing. You know, if we have someone in our traditional karate program and they're coming to class 2 to 3 days a week, I won't say everything. 90% of what we do in that class is designed to teach that person to defend themselves. It's just a more holistic approach instead of a microwave approach. Instead of trying to do it in a two-hour seminar, we want to give them skills that they can draw on a longer basis. So, yes, to answer your question, yes, ma'am, it would.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Great question.
Yeah, well, it's a good question.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Bill Taylor.
The United Way of Rutherford and Cannon Counties will hold its annual community celebration Tuesday, February 21st at 11:30 a.m. at Embassy Suites in Murfreesboro. Tickets are $10 per person for open seating or $150 for a reserved table of 10. Reservations may be made online at uwrutherford.org. Reservations are required. The community celebration serves as an opportunity to recognize the past year's accomplishments, corporate partners, and volunteers of United Way. The community celebration is sponsored by Regions Bank, Publix, Nissan, and Embassy Suites.
Since 1940, your first choice for air conditioning and heating repairs has been Roscoe Brown. Now when you have plumbing problems, it's also Roscoe Brown. You can depend on Roscoe Brown for any type of plumbing service and innovative plumbing solutions. Roscoe Brown is fully licensed, bonded, and insured, and fully qualified to assist with heating, air conditioning, and now plumbing. Roscoe Brown. Phone 888- My Roscoe.
We're looking for the right insurance company for our auto, home, and life.
We went with Claiborne and Taylor. They've been around for years. Claiborne and Taylor. They used to be Farmer Brothers Insurance and Murfreesboro Insurance Agency. They're one of Murfreesboro's largest locally owned independent agencies.
I'm Doran Claiborne.
And I'm Gary Taylor.
Farmer Brothers Insurance and Murfreesboro Insurance Agency are now Claiborne and Taylor Insurance. Our office is at 319 West McKnight Drive, just off Memorial Boulevard behind Tire World.
You can depend on Claiborne and Taylor.
Some of the best food in town is at Stones River Manor.
I like the lunch meal. Today we're having chicken, and I like baked chicken better than fried chicken. I love to play the piano for people. They enjoy the music, and I enjoy all the entertainment that goes on in the manor.
Everyone loves Stones River Manor. Stop by for a tour.
We're at the Garden Patch Thrift Store on Spring Street across from the tall NHC building with Christy Sanford here joining us. And Christy, you have more than just clothing here at the thrift store. You've got lots of furniture.
Couches, recliners, chairs, office desk, and definitely appliances.
The warehouse store at the Garden Patch is open Wednesdays and Thursdays.
It changes so often, we have a lot of turnover back there.
The Garden Patch Thrift Store warehouse is open Wednesdays and Thursdays. They're on Spring Street.
It's The Truman Show, a look at the people and news shaping Rutherford County with Truman Jones.
And we are back again, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Charlie Pitts Hairstyling on Las Casas Pike. They provide quality haircuts and styling for men, women, and children. Call 895-3997 for Charlie Pitts Hairstyling. It's not just a haircut, it's an experience with Charlie Pitts Hairstyling. You know, Bill, we were talking off the air where boxing can be a brutal sport.
Yes, sir.
But in some respects, some forms of martial art can be that way also. And you competed in those. And how was it, you know, we were talking about when you go into the ring and you get ready to face, I think they always, you always bow with respect. I think they still do that. What is your intention when you go in? Do you have a plan of attack for that particular individual who is going to be your foe that day?
Usually I would have studied and I would know, is this guy, you know, a banger? Does he like to close the distance and knock you out with the right hand? Is he a kicker? You know, is he an inside fighter? You'd kind of hope to know what his attributes were going to be, his strong points, and then devise a fight plan that would hopefully work with that. I mean, is he a fighter that's going to follow you around the ring, which that usually is a guy that's pretty easy to hit? Is he a guy that wants to cut the ring off, get you in a corner, and bang on your body? So there are different ways that people would want to fight you, and you'd want to know that going in. So you would go in there with a game plan.
Now, not all of them are that way. You have the matches that are actually points
and
you do not hit full contact.
Right, and you don't know who the guy is either. That's a tournament, an amateur tournament situation where the matches are only 2 minutes. You're competing for the first person to get 3 points. And there might be 20 people in a ring, and they divide you up, and and you're competing for trophies. We have a tournament coming up March 23rd in Columbia mm-hmm. that a lot of our students will go to. That's a great way to take the competitive juices of a karate student and let them participate and compete, but not worry about getting your head knocked off or you'll get knocked unconscious.
Well, now, Chuck Norris was a world champion, right?
World champion, middleweight. During the late 60s and early mid 70s.
And he was a points man, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And it's kind of discouraging to know that after watching all these movies that he's made, that he actually did not have full contact when you're going for points.
When he was competing, he didn't. But I think he could probably take care of himself pretty well.
Oh, I guarantee you he can.
Yeah, he's a fine man. We've done some fundraisers for Kick Drugs Out of America, mm-hmm. an organization he started out of Texas, mm-hmm. and I've gotten to meet him a couple times, and he's a great, great individual.
Now, you have some special things coming up here.
We do. We do. Our school opened in 1973, so 2013 is our 40th year anniversary, mm-hmm. and on May 11th, we're going to be holding open houses at both of our locations, the one out on Broad Street and the one behind Shoney's off of Church Street. We're going to have open houses from 10 until 2 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. We're going to have all kinds of things going on, guest instructors, lessons that non-karate students can participate in. Mm-hmm. We're going to be doing a fundraiser for the Special Kids Organization.
Great, great.
One of my staff members and instructors, Mrs. Mary Kay Chisholm, came up with this great idea. She said, let's tell everyone we're rolling back the prices 40 years. And she looked at me and said, Mr. Tyler, how much was it when you started taking karate in 1973? I said, $30 a month. I remember my dad, you know, did that for
That's
me.
That's a pretty good amount back then.
Well, I guess it was, yeah. But it was worth it. Yeah. But what we're going to do is on that day, anybody that would like to sign up for a month of karate, mm-hmm. we'll give them a month of karate, we'll give them a uniform, mm-hmm. it'll be $30, but all the $30 paid that day will go to Special Kids.
Now tell them again exactly where that's going to be and the times, because we're running out of time, okay. And I'll make sure they know.
Thank you. On Broad Street, we're right next door to Stones River Country Club. Mm-hmm. That's from 10 in the morning till 2 on May 11th, it'll be a couple months down the road, and off our South Murfreesboro location is on a Business Campus Drive. It's better known as the Church Street Shoney's. Mm-hmm. Our building is right behind that Shoney's.
Oh,
and same time, from 10 to 2 on May 11th.
Well, I want you back on before then so people can at least remember,
okay.
or know when it's going to be, because I know that you're going to have a lot of people that are going to attend.
Well, I hope so.
And it's going to be well worthwhile. And if you've got children or if you feel like that you have a special need for the classes that Bill teaches, and I'm sure every one of us does.
Well, thank you.
You do such a great job, and I want to thank you for going into our schools, because that has to be a major influence in each one of those child's lives.
And, well, thank you.
And every one of us needs to take part in something to help our kids, and you go above and beyond, and I really appreciate that, Bill.
Well, thank you, Sheriff. I appreciate that very much.
Great to have you on.
Thank you.